Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David continues the Go series with a look at going outside your comfort zone. Let's listen.
So I really enjoy reading the newspaper every morning. I get up and my house is a little bit in chaos because my daughters really, really want breakfast like right away. And so, you know, after cooking their breakfast and getting them off and playing with something, I just look forward to then sitting down, reading the newspaper, you know, eating my breakfast. It feels like such a peaceful way to begin the morning. But my daughters have recently noticed that there's a section of the newspaper that they're very interested in. It's the comics. Yeah, they were like, whoa, there's cartoons in your newspaper. That's so neat. And so they have had me start reading the comics to them on occasion. And I gotta say, you know, normally I'm not one to just sit down and read the comics. Nothing against comics, but I just wasn't really in that routine. But now that I've been reading them with my daughters, I was reminded of the comics that I really, really loved at their age. Like my favorite comic growing up, Calvin and Hobbes. Just loved that one. In fact, if you're watching online, go ahead and add a comic or a comment. What's your favorite comic, either currently or when you were growing up? What did you just look forward to reading? I'll go back and read those comments because I'm really interested. But I loved Calvin and Hobbes. And another one I enjoyed was Peanuts, you know, with Charlie Brown. And I was thinking about Charlie Brown as I was beginning to prep for this sermon today. And there's a character, Linus, within the Charlie Brown series. And Linus is known for talking about the meaning of Christmas, right, in that Christmas episode. But when you picture Linus, what pops into your head? That's exactly right. It's the blanket. He carries the blanket with him wherever he goes. It doesn't matter if he's going to play baseball. It doesn't matter if he's going to go, you know, talk with his friends. He's carrying his blanket with him. Are we still live? I see the screen went black. Are we still streaming? Oh, good. I'm going to keep going then. And, you know, hopefully you can see us. I'm not sure what you're seeing right now, but but if you can hear me, then that's all good. But Linus carried around that blanket everywhere with him. It was literally a security blanket, but he did so to make himself feel more comfortable. And it made me wonder, what do we carry around with us to make us feel more comfortable? We're talking, as Bailey mentioned, we have this series called Go, where we feel like God is sending us out into the world to make disciples. And each week we're going to talk about a different place that we're going. And today we are going out of your comfort zone. And so what is it that you carry around with you that makes you feel comfortable, that you need if you're really going to journey out into the world? And no, I'm not talking about your phone. Not talking about your purse, not even your mask. I mean, these are things we carry around everywhere with us these days. But I'm talking emotionally. What do you carry with you? At times, do you carry some fears with you, some anxieties with you? Do you carry a self-protective attitude or kind of a wall that kind of separates you from getting too engaged in certain aspects of the world? What do you carry with you that makes you feel more comfortable, that you feel like you need when you're journeying out into the world? I came across a great quote that said, "A comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing grows there." Isn't that so true? We feel best when we're in our comfort zone, but you probably do the most growing when you're outside of that comfort zone. And that is what we're going to explore today, the ways that God wants to help you grow in your faith, and how that's most likely going to happen outside of your comfort zone. So we are going to talk about a man named Philip. Now, Philip is not, we're not talking one of the original 12 disciples. He shows up for the first time in Acts chapter 6. If you read that chapter, he was what we would call now a deacon, where he was in charge, a leadership position, in helping a food distribution for local widows. That's where we got to know Philip. So Philip in Acts chapter 6 shows up, and then In Acts chapter 8, God approaches Philip and really asks Philip to go outside of his comfort zone. Let's read together now. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go,'" there's our key word again for this series, "'go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' And so he started out." Yes, God tells Philip, just go. Start walking. Just go take a walk down the desert road. Notice, though, God doesn't tell Philip any details. God doesn't say why or who he's going to meet or what the purpose of him going down that desert road is. God simply tells him, hey, start walking. Go. There's the desert road. Go take a walk. Now, if you're like me, and you feel like God is maybe, you know, gently pushing on your heart to go do something or to talk with someone, I want to know the details. I'll say, okay, God, that's fine, but why? You know, give me the big picture here. And it doesn't seem like that's how God is operating. God simply says, this is the next step that I want you to do. I want you to go walk down that road. And what I want you to notice is that Philip responds in faith. Philip starts walking. He doesn't know exactly where this is going to lead him, but he knows that God is prompting him. And so he responds in faith. And then we're told that on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. Okay, a little bit of a history of the Ethiopians during this time period would be helpful. So Ethiopians were regarded by the Greeks and the Jewish people as living on the edge of the known world, at least in this time period. In school, I bet you had to read the Odyssey at one point, you know, Odysseus's epic journey. And in the Homer's Odyssey, Ethiopians are referred to as the last of men. You know, they were really pictured as this kind of distant, remote, somewhat unknown area of the world. And Ethiopia had a king, but you never knew who the king's father was, because they were under the belief that the king was the son of the sun, meaning S-U-N, like sun in the sky. So you didn't know who the father was, but the mother held a very high position, a position of quite a bit of power within Ethiopia, and had an honorary title of Candace. And so the queen of Ethiopia has obviously sent this man on a journey, and we are told that this person just so happened to be in charge of the entire treasury of Ethiopia. So he is a higher up within the Ethiopian government, and he is on this journey. And it is this person that Philip happens to meet on the desert road. The story goes on. It says, "This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip," there's our key word again, "go. Go to that chariot and stay near it." How fascinating is this? That this Ethiopian man comes from a country that believes that, you know, the king is the son of the sun, S-U-N, and yet this man happens to believe in the Jewish God. We don't know how he came to faith. We simply see that he has that sort of faith, and that as a part of his reason for going to Jerusalem, he went to worship. It seems to be a bit of a pilgrimage. He goes to worship, and Philip now sees him on his return journey, and Philip is prompted once again by God to go. He says, God says to him, go and just stay near that chariot. Who knows if it was an audible voice that Philip heard, or if it was just a tugging on his heart, but he felt that God once again wanted him to go. But notice again, Philip still doesn't have much information, does he? I mean, God just says, go hang out by that chariot, doesn't tell him what he wants him to do once he gets there. So how do you think Philip is feeling right now? Do you think that perhaps Philip is being stretched out of his comfort zone a little bit? I mean, perhaps he doesn't want to go and talk to a random person in a random chariot who just happens to be an important Ethiopian official. He's being stretched out of his comfort zone here. But once again, Philip chooses to respond in faith. We're told in Acts 8, verse 30, that Philip ran to the chariot. He didn't reluctantly go walk up to the chariot like, ugh, God wants me to go here. I don't know why. I guess I'll go follow. No, he's enthusiastic. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. You see, the Ethiopian here, he's reading out loud because he was reading from a scroll, a handwritten scroll, not just typed like or print like we would have. So you probably have to study it a little bit more. And he's reading in a language that would not have been his first native language. So if you are learning a new language, I mean, when you're reading it, often you have to read it out loud. You have to sound out the words to make sure you're getting it right. And so this Ethiopian, he has the prophet Isaiah, and he's sitting in his chariot reading it out loud. And it is that moment that Philip approaches, hears him reading, and engages him and says, do you understand what you are reading? I think it's fascinating that God did not tell him, go talk with a man inside of that chariot and tell him about me. God simply said, go on a walk down the desert road. And Philip responded in faith. And then God said, hey, there's a chariot coming. Go and stand near that chariot. And Philip responded in faith. And it was at that moment that he heard this Ethiopian sharing about or reading the prophet Isaiah, and he knew enough about what God must have wanted in that situation to know, hey, I need to engage with this person. I need to have a conversation with this person. Once again, bring it back to your life. How often do you feel that God wants you to do something, although the details may still be fuzzy, but you respond to it, and then once you're in that area that you know God wanted you to be, well, then it makes more sense. Then you go, oh, I know the type of world that God wants to create, so I know what next step to take here. God doesn't need to spell everything out for us, and God didn't spell everything out for Philip either. He put Philip in an environment, in a situation where then Philip knew enough about God to know how to respond and to continue. And so Philip, responding in faith, engages this Ethiopian eunuch, the treasurer of all of Ethiopia, and he hears him reading Isaiah and says, do you understand what you are reading? Well, the response that he gets is, how can I? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? And so he invited Philip to come and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. And so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. The section of Isaiah that the eunuch is reading from is what's commonly referred to as the suffering servant text. If you want to read it at home, it's roughly Isaiah 53 to 55. But he's reading this, and this section describes an unnamed person who goes on to suffer and eventually die, but it's through that person's suffering that redemption comes to the rest of humanity. Well, as this eunuch is reading this, he goes, I don't understand what I'm reading. Have you ever had that before? Where you're reading the Bible going, I don't know what I just read. I don't really understand what I'm reading. If you've had that before, that experience before, you're in good company, because the Ethiopian was experiencing the same thing. But he says, is this suffering servant text, is it referring to Isaiah? Is it referring to someone else yet to come? I just don't know. And then we find that this is the reason that God wanted Philip to start walking down that desert road in the first place. Because God wanted Philip to have this conversation with this Ethiopian eunuch who just happened to be reading from this section of Isaiah, so that Philip could then use that section and point to Jesus. It says he uses Isaiah 53 through 55 and then goes on to explain how all of that points to the good news about Jesus. Philip shared the good news, and then I want you to see what happened next. In verse 36, it says, and then as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Yes, this man is so convinced in this moment of the good news of Jesus Christ that the first body of water they see, he says, stop the chariot. I need to be baptized right now. And what you're seeing here is the response, the reaction to faithful Christians responding to God's command to go. What is the response? What is the reaction or the result? It's changed lives. I mean, this Ethiopian, this eunuch, his life was changed because Philip chose to respond by faith. He chose to walk down the desert road, even though he didn't know where he was going. He chose to go stand next to a chariot, even though he didn't know why God wanted him to stand next to a chariot. In each and every situation, he responded by faith, and the result of him going was a changed life. Now remember, this group of Ethiopians, they were kind of on the fringe of the known world in this time period, a remote area that would have been hard to reach. But what history tells us is that this man, this treasurer who had his life changed that day, he journeyed back to Ethiopia and became the primary missionary to his people within the first century. I mean, how incredible is that? And all of that resulted from one conversation between Philip and the Ethiopian. Well, we are told to go just like Philip was. But we can learn a couple things from how Philip went. And so the first thing that, you know, I've said several times now, but I want to make sure we really get it. The first thing we learned from Philip is that Philip lived by faith. Let us not take this for granted. Because we too have an opportunity to respond to that still small voice of God inside of us. But there will always be a reason to say no. There will always be a reason to say no to God, or to pretend we don't hear, or to make up a reason why that's not really God's voice. I think that's just indigestion. You know, I'm moving on here. There's always going to be an obstacle. But Philip should be our example. Because Philip chose to respond every time in faith. And we can too, because you see the results of what happens when we choose to live by faith. Philip said yes each and every time. I mean, first, when God told him just to go walking down a desert road. Next, when he told him to stand next to a random chariot, Philip responded in faith. So what I take from that is that when I hear God's voice, or when I hear a nudge from God on my heart, then I'm going to start walking. I'm going to walk whatever path that God is laying out for me. And I'm going to recognize that I don't know all of the details. I mean, it might still be a little bit fuzzy. Philip wasn't given the whole plan here, but he chose to take that next step. Yeah, Philip started walking, and I hope we will as well. That's the first thing that Philip did. He lived by faith. But the second thing, I'm sure you can guess this one, is Philip followed God outside of his comfort zone. Now, I don't know, maybe Philip was an extrovert. Maybe he didn't mind engaging with people he'd never met before in deep theological conversations, but I doubt it. I doubt it. I would guess that Philip is like most of us, and that this experience that we just read pushed him outside of the area of his life where he was comfortable. It pushed him outside of his comfort zone. But he did it anyway, because he knew it was important. And you and I are given that same opportunity. I came across a good definition for a comfort zone. It says a comfort zone is a state of mind when you are at ease. You're in relative control of your environment with a low level of stress or anxiety. I mean, your comfort zone is the place where you can say, well, it's all good. I feel confident. I feel like I can do this. I'm comfortable. You're acting from a place of strength. And we all love to act out of our comfort zones. But there are times where God is going to ask us to journey outside of those, to the places where we feel more uncomfortable, where we feel a little bit more vulnerable. And those are the places that I believe we can experience the most growth in our faith, the most growth in our character, and honestly, probably have the most impact for the kingdom of what God is hoping for us to accomplish. And so if Philip is our example, then I ask you guys, where is God asking you to journey outside of your comfort zone? Where have you been ignoring that still small voice because you're saying, God, I don't want that. That's not where I want to go. I'm not comfortable there. Because perhaps we should be like Philip and start walking. Yes, we don't know exactly where God's going to lead, but if God is leading, then the impact will be great. And so we hear this command once again that you'll hear each week of this series to go, even when it's not comfortable, even when you don't know the end of the story, we go, because when we respond in faith, this is how God changes the world.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.